We are rolling. How's it going?
Hello.
How are you?
Pretty good.
Let's see. This is the Wednesday, December 6th, 2017, meeting of the South Kingstown Conservation Commission. It is 6:02. We're calling the meeting to order. First order of business is roll call. Jennifer James.
Here.
Christopher O'Connor.
Here.
Anna Harris.
Here.
I am David Flanders. Also with us is our staff person. First order of review is review to the planning board of 84 Old Tower Hill Road, combined potential master plan and preliminary plan, proposed 77,243 square foot self-storage facility, requesting a waiver of perimeter parking lot and landscaping requirements. AP 57-2, lot 60. And with us is Dave Russo.
Dave Russo with
Concrete Engineer. Dave, you want to give an overview?
Sure.
And we have the plan if you need to refer to sheet numbers.
Okay. Just before I begin, I do have to get out of here at 6:30. I have another meeting at 7.
So. Shouldn't be a problem.
Okay. So we're posing. Before I get into what we're proposing, the site itself is behind the Fred Smith dealership and the Volkswagen dealership. It's basically just a vacant, dilapidated asphalt gravel site. Very little vegetation or environment, shall I say, on the site. We're proposing to put a storage facility on the site. It's going to be a cube spot storage facility. We've completed a drainage design that's been reviewed by Department of Environmental Management. We have a insignificant alteration approval from them. It's also been reviewed by the Department of Transportation due to the change of use on the property. So we also have a physical alteration permit. And then the last DEM approval we have, which Lakeshore Environmental worked for, was the remedial action work plan. Some of the soils on the site contain petroleum. Most of those contaminated soils are right around this area of the property. So David Haysbrook from Lakeshore Environmental worked with DEM on the remediation work plan, which is in place and will need to be implemented when they do the site construction. Most of that remediation work plan is a impermeable liner. For the most part, the impermeable liner ends up being the paved areas or the building itself. So a lot of the capping is performed by the pavement or the building. In areas that are outside that contaminated area, such as the landscape areas, is a geotextile liner that'll separate a sand layer to the soils underneath.
So they're not going to make you chase it? Or they're not going to make you remove and chase the soil?
Soil they do, like for the foundation, yeah, they'll have to remove from the site. Yeah, that's correct. Yep. So whatever they remove or have to remove, for mostly probably for the building itself,
right,
they'll have to take off site and dispose of per the remedial action work plan. The other, when that came into play when we were doing the drainage design. So the two drainage basins are sand filters. They're designed with impermeable liners. They provide the water quality treatment that DEM requires, but they don't. We can't infiltrate directly in the stormwater areas. So that was worked on with DEM as we went through that process. As David stated earlier, we are requesting, the only waiver we're requesting in terms of landscaping is the 10-foot strip. We're asking for a reduction to 5 feet. There was discussion at the last planning board meeting and with the planning department about another waiver on the amount of trees and plants necessary for the site. The landscape architect has revised his plan to meet that requirement. So he has all the, he's met all the minimum amount of bushes and trees and shrubs.
What is the reason for the reduction from 10 feet to 5 feet?
Mainly area. Where this site's kind of an odd shaped site. It's restricted by a National Grid easement along the northern edge here, so we can't put any infrastructure or anything in that easement. So that's a restriction on the north end. On the south end, you have the dealership and just the building and the access that we have. So the five, it's really focused around area. We provided a 5-foot strip. They're providing plantings in those strips. I talked to John Carter before the meeting, and I kind of asked John, you know, if it went to a 10-foot strip, the plantings itself, the amount of plantings wouldn't change. The type, he'd probably keep the same. He mentioned if we went to 10, you may be able to get some trees in there. But the dealership, if you drive by the site, the dealership has cars parked right up to the property line. So dealerships...
The Volkswagen dealer.
Yeah, so dealerships, they're not going to want trees overhanging there, no. Cars sitting there. So right along the entrance, John Carter has mostly ornamental grasses, and then it kind of converts into some bushes as you get further into the site and then along this this edge of the property. So really the reason is it's mostly area and just the configuration of the site. It's also... it's this area here along the back of the Volkswagen building. It's not going to be visible to anybody. Really, the only visible landscaping is going to be the strip on the side. We also, along the entrance...
Along which side?
Along the entrance road. So you come in the entrance here. Yeah. We also limited with the entrance because there's an existing curb cut that we want to utilize with DOT, which they prefer. And that area there, if we have 10 feet, would really alter that entrance. So we feel, 5 feet, we can taper it off, come in, and it'll work on the site.
So is this area back here, is this a separate lot from the front lot, or is it all one lot?
It'll all be one lot with lease agreements.
And there's some kind of easement agreement that coming in that would be dedicated. Is the entryway just going to be dedicated for this rear parking area?
That business, the Fred Smith business in the front, I don't know. I know that they're working on another development for that portion.
For what's there now?
For what's there.
The building.
Yeah, so what?
It's kind of a sprawling building that goes back a ways.
Yeah,
right? It's got like a car wash in there.
Yeah, it's a lot of the older, almost like 70s, maybe.
Yeah, 1970s.
Yeah. So they're actually looking at developing that property also. So probably quarter 1, quarter 2 next year, they're going to be looking at doing some development on that. And our game plan when we do that is one of the comments early in this from the planning board was this is an odd area just the way that it's existing.
It's like a no man's land.
Right.
Yeah, it's just really wide. It's just odd. So this what we're showing on this plan, it's really just a saw cut for the utilities. That's not just strictly our entrance. That's a saw cut for the utility installation. This is all going to remain paved for the time being.
Okay.
Our goal and our vision when this is done is whatever development they do here, we envision some type of landscaping along here to differentiate this access in this property. Because right now it's just kind of all meshed together. Yeah. So, there will be some additional landscaping along this entrance and along this road when they go forward with that development in the front.
So how do you, I guess the question I had was, and it's probably not relevant to our analysis, but just how does it work in this zoning classification? They've got an existing use on the front end of the property, and they're proposing to build something on the rear, and then they're going to, now what they're saying is they're going to eventually change, maybe not the use, but whatever is there in the front.
We allow 2 principal uses on one site.
2?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then not one of them is going to be an accessory or subordinate. They're both going to be 2 principal uses on the same site.
Okay.
Yeah, we haven't seen anything on the other, at least I haven't, but
nothing's
so that's still like an independent, and they can still basically treat them as 2 principal uses. It sure makes a lot of sense if they have in mind coordinating the access as they're doing it and coordinating landscaping around that access as they're doing it, that is helpful. There's nothing in terms of a zoning conflict or constraint with them doing what they're doing,
variance.
Leaving it as either one site, or if they want to subdivide in the future and do it as 2 sites, they can do that.
Okay.
The 2 uses came up again when the fish hatchery came up. On Succotash Road.
Okay.
He wants to build an additional building, and it came up with TRC, and the building official had to decide, is this a third and primary use for the property, or is it adjunct to, and so that was, and it hasn't been really cleared up.
Okay.
But the contaminated area, that's under site remediation section of DEM probably? For the remedial action work plan?
It is. They went through and they have an order of approval from DEM as part of that.
Okay, and there'll be a land use restriction, right? ELUR?
I assume that was, I believe that's in the package with the order of approval, yeah.
Okay. So DEM tends to be very compartmentalized. Are they aware of, you know, if they're requiring a cap and a land use restriction, which is likely, are they aware of the stormwater effects? Was it a combined approval?
It was, okay. Jointly reviewed.
Okay, good.
It actually, when we first looked at this site, we actually weren't aware of any contamination on this because there was nothing that gave us that information. When we were doing our initial soil testing on the site for drainage, we had visions of maybe porous pavement, paver systems.
So there's no monitoring wells anywhere around?
I think David Haysbrook has some wells in this area now. Yeah, when he did his testing, he left them out there. Yeah, but when we were doing the testing for the drainage, we noticed it because one of the holes had a strong odor of gasoline. And that's when David Haysbrook got involved from Lakeshore Environmental, and it was kind of a joint, the remedial action work plan and the drainage all at once. That's why these are lined.
Okay. Yep.
What's the situation for the primary access road from Tower Hill? Is that a compromised area at all, or
the road itself? Not that we're aware of, David. They went and tested the limits. Again, David Haysbrook did all this, but I know just from speaking with him, they kept testing the limits with test holes until the what they were looking for kind of tapered off. Yeah.
So you could make the access road permeable.
Pavement now.
Yeah, it's all pavement now. I mean, DM would want but they actually want us. Well, part of his work plan is they want the cracks in any of the pavement back here sealed. So anything that we're not repaving, they want sealed up.
Yeah, they
want to. I have a feeling that's going to kind of get jointly put together with the development that's going to go in there in the future.
But there's probably more contamination on the other site, especially being so close to the gas station.
Very may well be, and they're. You know, they're going to have to look
into
that.
The gas station that's they're working on now?
The one that's closed, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was that they believe it was a combination of, they might have thought it was the lifts, I guess the oil from the lifts.
Oh, really?
That's what they were thinking right about.
From the Volkswagen.
From the
Fred Smith.
Long way to travel.
Yeah, it's kind of an odd spot where it is.
But if it's petroleum, I would say it's from the gas station.
Probably. More mobile.
But they're definitely going to have to test that.
Yeah.
Also.
Well, you don't know because if they were, back in the old days, we're changing oil.
Oh, and floor drains. I mean, everything went down the floor drains.
That's part of what they assumed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Drain and they piped it back.
Oh, absolutely. And wetlands had no. What were the wetlands restrictions that DEM put on? Did they have any?
Nothing out of the ordinary from wetlands. Besides, obviously, what we had to do in respect to contaminated soils.
And they issued you an insignificant alteration permit already?
Yep. I mean, we do have some disturbance within the buffer, but that's all previously disturbed area. They required us to put some plantings along the backside of the fence.
Yep.
Just to increase the buffer to really show that it's there.
Anybody have any more questions? Concerns?
No. Because
do you have anything further?
I'm assuming these storage facilities, there's not a large influx of people, continuous
traffic-wise, no, it shouldn't be. We're not expecting that. I mean, it's probably random here and there.
Right.
But, yeah.
Okay.
And there is a gate that's...
There's a fence around this whole development, and then there'll be a gate located right in this area.
Okay. Is it slab on grade?
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Yep.
There's a CubeSmart on Church Street that you can see and it was actually only put in the last year, but you can't get in without a pass gate.
David, I might have misheard you. When you gave your overview, you said that... did you say that out of the two waivers you're looking to seek on the landscaping strip, you're sticking with the idea that you want to reduce it to 5 feet, but did you say that you're not going to ask for a waiver for the content of the landscaping within that strip?
The content of the strip. I think you may be right on that, Doug. There was another waiver that they were speaking about with the amount of plants that they may need.
Yeah.
There was a discrepancy. John Carter's obviously been doing landscape plans for a while.
Yeah.
The way that the planning department... prior to Chelsea was reading the parking regulation.
Yep.
And Chelsea's right the way she reads it now, but they looked at it differently in the past. So John Carden met with Chelsea to go over that to clarify it all. And then John updated his plan. He was afraid he wasn't going to be able to get the plantings to meet it.
But he did.
I have to talk to him about the content. I think part of the strip was it did require some trees. But again, the dealership, he wanted to try to avoid that. He also had concerns with the trees in that area and the plowing that's going to occur. So it's a combination of both of those.
Yeah, I know that it does require a tree. I don't have the standard in front of me, but it was a tree every so many feet. I don't know maybe it was a tree for every number of parking spaces.
I think he meets that with the trees, but I think you're right. I think the content of the strip itself, there may be a waiver within the waiver for that.
Yeah, it's sort of two layers. And obviously, one of the waivers is, you know, it's a waiver from the requirement.
Yeah.
For the strip.
Yeah.
And one of the components of the waiver seems to be a width,
mm-hmm.
reducing the width from 10 to 5. And then I guess what I'm trying to clarify is, do you still intend the waiver regarding the content of the strip in terms of the number of streets? So you do. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
You know, that's kind of ironic in a way that these are actually the exact kinds of sites where we do want to see trees. We want to see trees actually in more parking lots. Because where there are and the trees have matured, that's where you find people parking under in the summertime to get away from the sun. So I don't know that by planting trees on your property, that's going to be a real hardship for the dealership. I would certainly argue to plant those trees in that strip.
I mean, along the entrance, if you go to drive by this, they have cars. This is a pretty disputed property line over the years. There's big cinder blocks on the property now, and they park those cars like right on the cinder blocks. I've worked on dealerships, car dealerships, and they do, trees are a major concern because of the whatever's falling off those trees onto the cars. You know, it's that. They also, these trees, they have to cut there's a liner that's in here. So they're going to have to cut the liner to install a lot of these. The cap. So John Carter didn't have too much of a concern with that. But, you know, this strip, we feel the way John designed it's pretty sufficient. And there's going to be a fence along this also.
I mean, it's all impervious.
Yep.
Like, did you see the pictures of it? I mean, it's not like it's the best looking spot for trees anyways. Yeah.
I think that it, you know, obviously it's not in front of you guys, but I think this property, when it goes forward, I think that's the time to really dress up the front, because really this landscaping back here,
nobody's
really going to see this. And
yeah, I wasn't thinking in terms of landscaping point of view, more or less just increasing tree canopy.
Yeah, I agree. I think this front property, when you have islands along here to break the properties up, I agree with you. I think that's a chance when you put these islands in there, and then you dress it up with trees in that area, and then you have a really defined access that differentiates these two developments.
Mm-hmm.
It's ugly now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the prettiest site.
Okay. I mean, I don't have any other issues. I make a motion to accept the plans for.
Oh, that's the same.
I did, and we were just talking about it briefly, and I think a lot of her points are not valid because of the cap and everything.
Yeah.
So I don't think that.
All right, I just thought we'd forgot that some.
I was reading through them, and because of the cap and because of the contamination.
That was new to me. I hadn't known about the cap.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, abide by any of her things. Okay, so I make a motion to accept the conceptual master plan and preliminary plan submittal for Old Tower Hill Road as presented. I don't think we need anything else.
Do I hear a second on the motion?
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion, amendments to the motion, anything we want to add beyond what we've discussed?
No.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay.
Thank you, guys.
We're out before 6:30.
The second item on the agenda is mine too, but we're going to continue that one.
Yeah, you're coming back to us next month, I think. Yeah, you're working to get all that infamous squared away with them.
It's on other people to get this stuff, so I'm hoping I get it all.
Yep. So just let me know. I think someone gave you a deadline. They can't give me stuff by this date, and you're on the agenda.
Thank you.
So yeah, you know what you have to do.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a good holiday.
Thanks.
You too.
Here's my other sheet.
Is or was to be advisory review to CRMC regarding draft guidelines for culture here. Is that being continued?
No, that is being discussed and moved upon now. So
this is going to take a word that.
I did not have this ready in time for your packet, Shannon. So I just want you to read this now and let me know if you have thoughts.
Steve, read it now.
Read it now. Take your time. Slow read it.
But hurry up.
Take your time, but we're all waiting for you now.
We want to get out at a reasonable time tonight, so. TMC.
Well, I like the first recommendation.
Yep,
so do I.
Unless one is going to fall out of years.
I mean, this is a different kind of category that we're commenting on.
Okay.
I don't know what CRMC is going to do with this.
Yeah, me too.
I think that sums up what we talked about nicely.
All right. Any other thoughts, edits?
I'm on paragraph 2. Yeah, you want to make a motion?
Sure. I motion we send this to CRMC.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Anything we need to add that is not here or anything else? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 It's been done for me on a couple of
days. Generally, CONCOM procedure that we don't hassle David when I need these signatures, because oftentimes it's like, oh, I'm going to need to get this out the door today, and I'm going to finish it.
But I need to 4 o'clock. You need to make a stamp.
We do. Your stamp is when I just write.
Yes. Okay. Our next item that I would like to open with is our discussion for the post community survey regarding the ban. And I had some thoughts and made some notes on the copy that we were given by Doug.
Thank you.
I want to start by saying that Doug did the perfect job in transcribing what we had discussed. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to make some changes. Two things, particularly when we're talking with people outside the commission, I think we should refer to it as a plastic bag ordinance, because that's exactly what the legislation is going to be, should it be drafted and passed, etc. And the other thing is I was having a complete turnaround on the idea of a survey, and for two very good reasons. One is that think the consensus of the commission is that this is a potential ordinance that should pass on its own merits. I don't think it should be part of an kind of an electoral process or what do you call it, popularity contest. It's not about that. I think one of the most far-reaching and contentious ordinances the town passed was the OWTS ordinance. It cost many people many thousands of dollars. If there ever was to be a survey, do you want this or do you not want this, that would have been the one, and the answer would have been, we do not want this at all. I also think that the initial response to a survey is going to be negative, or maybe 50-50. I think, or it made sense to me, that perhaps that is why Barrington postponed doing its survey until a year after, if I'm not mistaken, a year after the ordinance had been enacted, so that people had a chance to live with it and gave what was probably a more positive response than what was already out there. The second reason for my thinking that we should not go that route is that the survey could be used against the idea of the ordinance. For one thing, it would have to show an overwhelmingly positive response, say 75-25, for the council to say, oh, well, I guess this is, you know, a positive idea that we should go forward on. That anything less than that, and this is speculation, maybe 60-40, maybe 55-45, and it could go the other way as well. As I said, initially, I dumped the plastic bags are very convenient. I'm in Belmont's all the time, and people are saying, ask the question, paper or plastic? I say plastic, almost all the time. They're very convenient and very popular.
Okay.
So, I think that if it, unless we knew it was going to be overwhelmingly positive, it would be worth doing. I also think that if we got an overwhelmingly positive response, that could be used against us. Well, whom did you ask? People you knew who was going to say yes to and be positive, have a positive response toward. And I don't know how we would defend that, even though we wouldn't be aiming to do that. A third thing is that if we were successful enough to survey 1,000 people, which is a lot of work, we could be saying, hey, you interviewed or surveyed 1/30th of this town. These are inconclusive. And I know that, or I feel that, the Conservation Commission in approaching the town council is always going to be taking an uphill course. And I think one thing in our favor is, A, the concerns that we have laid out here, which are all in the interest of the health of South Kingstown and the people in it. We also have a significant advantage in the fact that the Barrington ordinance was drafted by our own town solicitor, Michael Ursillo. And where Doug mentioned that on page one, I added it later that I say again, Michael Ursillo can certainly be much help in this area on page three. So he would certainly be serving as an advisory, you know, capacity, and I would think that they would respect what he said, certainly more than, I think he has more credibility than we do, for instance, because he certainly researched all the reasons for having such an ordinance, and then went ahead and drafted it, so he certainly knows the legal ramifications, the legal bases, and all of that. So those are my thoughts on the survey itself. And if you want, you can just go over, I mean, I think my notes are pretty clear, but if you want to go over those one by one, you certainly can.
I just have one change.
Sure.
And it's just me being picky. Instead
Good.
Of saying, and it's really stupid,
Where?
But The third bullet point on the first page, mm-hmm. where we say entangled and the endangerment to fish, shellfish, mm-hmm. waterfall, can we just say endangerment to aquatic wildlife or aquatic flora and fauna? Fauna and flora, I don't care what we say.
Fish.
But
yeah.
I'd rather aquatic wildlife because it's more than just fish, shellfish, and waterfall.
Plastic bags that end up in our local waters can become
entangled.
Not can, eliminate can. They
yeah.
do become.
Waters can become
that's
entangled
already.
To aquatic
wildlife.
Yep. And fauna?
Well, no, you could just say wildlife, and that covers everything. Or you could say aquatic flora and fauna.
All right.
Good choice. I don't care.
I like wildlife.
Okay. It's shorter.
All right. So my thoughts, David, just as to make sure I'm clear on what you're suggesting here. You're suggesting we remove three of the bullets under survey.
Yeah.
And then we just leave the last bullet holding at least one of the
bullets. Where is what page?
When
yes.
we get to the bullets on survey.
Correct, yep.
All right. So
leave holding, by the way, not hold. Holding at least one public information meeting separately by the commission and or, instead of or, jointly with the town council to review and discuss relevant issues and give public feedback. Oh, and adding a bullet point, consulting with Michael Otillo on prospective language for an SK ordinance. That's an actual bullet point.
So I'll give you my general feedback. I think that I'd be curious to hear a little bit more about Barrington. I do agree with your point that Mike Ursillo could be a good advocate for this, and we can look at, you know, Mike, what did they do in advance of this?
Well, I think that the county council, having his name brought up here, is going to want to talk with him specifically.
Yeah, and I think he could be an advocate for us. I mean, I think the fact that Barrington was able to go through may have been a reflection on their council that may have been in overwhelming support for wanting to do this.
I agree.
In the first place.
I agree.
I don't know if our council is of the same view, so our council may want to have a survey done so that they can feel that they've at least exhausted and understood the perspectives of the community before they would consider, you know, an actual vote on,
yep.
on ban.
Now, if that does become the case, I would recommend that they put together a survey team, whether it's hired or whom they use, the Economic Development Commission, whom they will trust to get the results. But as I said, and I would certainly say this to the council, if this comes up, I mean, I'll be checking the agendas for the meetings, but I would certainly mention that it's your first survey is likely to come up negative because it's not a popular idea. It has its merits, and I think it should be dealt with on its merits, not its a survey popularity. But I would certainly mention to them that should you, you know, have a survey done, you know, be prepared that it could be negative, and then what would you do? I mean, how would you? I would also want to poll them, survey them, and say, well, how do you feel about these bullet points that we mentioned, these environmental bullet points?
I think that you, if you want this to occur, you want this ordinance, that you're going to need to provide cover to the town council to do this, and you should expect, or we should expect, to do most of the work that's associated with it.
Yep.
I don't think you'll find anyone on the town council, for a variety of reasons, who's going to sort of pick this up and run with it. In fact, I think I haven't attended a town council meeting in a while, but just knowing the general makeup of the council, you already know you're going to get some resistance from the business end of things. So a survey is one way to potentially give them some cover.
It would have to have credibility.
Well, it will. Now, surveys are really tricky, right? And they can be manipulated. There's no question about it. And there is a scientific way of going about conducting surveys. But I think the expectation that the council is going to invest any money or real resources in hiring or devoted to crafting that kind of survey is unrealistic. I don't think that my hunch is that they're probably going to say, thanks, but no thanks. So I think we need to be, and to your point about manipulating and the sampling, I mean, surveys are samples. You take a sampling of the population, and I suppose you can deem, what's our population?
Around 30.
30,000. So, I mean, there's probably literature out there that would call for what a reasonable sampling of the community would look like or something like that from a number of perspective.
I don't know if we'd even get to, if we get to 1,000. So I think that my thoughts on this are that I tend to agree that our council is going to want to see a survey done. I do agree that, I think, David, you're kind of bringing up 2 points. You're bringing up one point, which is that, like, it's going to be tough sledding. And I agree, because the council is looking to us to, you know, for cover, but it gives us them an opportunity to sort of pick things apart when they think that it might serve their purpose. And then if it's overwhelmingly positive, it gives them an opportunity to say, great, you know, we definitely support this. So, like, we're kind of sticking our necks out there, and we knew that from the start.
Yeah.
But I don't think that the idea that we would suggest that this should be taken on its merits, but then kind of like, for lack of a better word, punt the actual implementation of a survey. I do agree. I don't think that the council would, you know, bring it to a different board. I think that they would take our work seriously. I think that we have to be very careful in how we would administer the survey to avoid the perception or not even just the perception, that, you know, that our survey is administrative properly, and that the results that we get, we feel like we can really stand up and say, yes, this is a fair representation of the community. I think that there's value in the fact that the survey isn't, to me, just a number. The survey process would yield feedback that might actually be, you know, very helpful in drafting an ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we spoke with community members, and despite their answers to survey questions that might be more vanilla, you know, would you support it? They might give us, you know, my concern is not that there's an extra cost. My concern is preparedness. My concern is that, I just need to know that I've got a 1 year lead time.
I wrote in here a 6 month lead time.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, that's our guess. But if we're able to actually get that and provide it to the council, it's like, we got concrete information. So we got concerns, and some of the concerns might be overwhelming. We might just hear from businesses, no way, no how, I don't want to support it. And then we have to accept that information, document it, and say that's what we heard. People might say, I'm open to the idea, and these are some of the things that I'm more concerned with working about.
Well, I understand.
You know, like the range, they may talk about the range of other bag options, and there could be more information that we get that would then be useful to the town council in terms of, like, here's how we can move this process forward while still trying to accommodate what we have as acknowledged concerns with the idea. I agree with the survey. Who knows what our numbers might be? I think we would probably, I think we talked about setting up this was kind of, I think, my idea, but I'm doing it based on what I think the council would want to hear. This, like, idea of, like, a range of business sizes. I think that the businesses will give us a mixed bag. Like, maybe we get a couple of business owners who are like, I love the idea. I'm all for the environment. Yeah, let's do this. We create a level playing field. We'll all have to join. So maybe it's like a 50-50 split of businesses. It's the general population that I think, if they're responding to a survey, they're taking the time, is generally going to be positive.
Yeah.
But I'm not as worried about the numbers as I'm worried about, like, the media, the content, and, seeing where, maybe we can suggest that there's a unique way that our ordinance could address concerns. And I think the council will see it as maybe, we have actually something to work with here. That's my sense of it. My sense is that if we gave them this letter without a survey process, they have seen a letter from us already that had a survey process, so they may say, what happened?
Yeah, why the survey?
Why did we drop the survey? So this letter is, in a sense, kind of like, as a follow-up to that, saying, hey, we're really ready to take it on, and here's a little bit more of a robust process that we think is worth taking it. I don't think we can make it a less robust process. That's my sense. My sense is that if we did put a skimmed-down version, that you know, somewhere along the line, staff would have to basically acknowledge that, yeah, but once the CONCOM did give a more robust process, and now they're giving a less robust, and we'd have to try to answer the, you know, answer the question why. Mm. And I don't think we'd be able to really answer that question with a successful end.
Because we don't think you'll believe us. I mean, I don't.
Yeah. But I know what you're saying. You're saying it's tough uphill sledding, and like, why are we the sledders? But I think that's we're making that choice. By doing this, we're basically saying, yeah, we're going to put our neck out there. We will take the.
No, I'm not shying away from the work. I would want to see maybe them say, you know, by the way, we need more information.
Go
we need
for
a survey. What can you provide? And maybe say, well, we can do a survey. You know, and then
so you're looking for them to say, okay. We'll support
we're
this if you have a survey.
We're interested.
You're looking for their buy-in
but
first
we need
before
more information.
We do it.
Yeah. Exactly. I want to see them show some interest.
And I think, I mean, I understand that too. I understand that point too, being like, okay, yeah, you guys said in the past that you do a survey. Let's see what the survey
sure.
does.
Sure. Yeah, fine.
Is it,
and here's
or
the
do you think they'll just... knowing? Yeah, I mean, I hear you. I understand that point for sure. Do you think the council, knowing the council, do you think they'd be more likely to be like, meh, without having it in there?
The council is literally, first off, they're not, you can have a few council members who are like, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know a few of them will be, this is great, and then there'll be a few that are like, I don't like this, but I'm not going to say that yet. And then there's going to be someone like, this is out of the blue, I didn't even know we were even thinking about
right,
this.
Right.
This is like, huh. Because this is, it's not like this came from them to us and they're waiting for a response.
Right.
It's
yeah.
been a while. So
yeah.
it's like we're kind of bringing this to them. They're going to
yep.
get something out of the blue. I think we're going to have to lay it out in lavender. I think I'm happy to amend the end of the letter if we think we need a stronger ask of the council.
Maybe
right
that's
now,
what it is.
Right
yeah.
now I end the letter with basically like, you know, hey, you know, please advise if there are any additional educational resources the council would like to receive regarding this topic.
And the best sentence of all, the Conservation Commission stands ready to assist the town council with any potential next steps it deems suitable. The council deems suitable.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And we await directions to how this issue may proceed. So maybe they say, well, we don't think this is going to go over too well.
How about, I could come up with a language that would say...
I like that language, though.
No, and I could build around that type of language. I'm good at, like, making that sense.
Make it
make sense. The commission, you know, would like to understand the council's level of interest in this matter. And
that's perfect.
Yeah,
yeah that's
something
perfect.
Along
yeah.
that. And basically, you know, we would be happy to, you know, take on the survey process as described here, if directed to do so by the council, and we await your. You know,
yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Or, you know,
I think that's
matter.
Yeah, me too. To get a definite ask, yeah.
Not, bringing that up is something. If they want to, you know, say, well, you had mentioned a survey 2 years ago. Are you still willing to do that? And we said, yeah, you know.
Well, so you're anticipating.
I'd like them to show some interest.
The unfortunate thing is that you're anticipating that the council's going to have to give you that response as if you're having a dialogue with the council.
Oh, no. This is going to Stephen Alfred.
It will. And what's going to happen is before it gets to the council, there's going to be a cover memo on top of this letter that's going to say, this is not a robust process. They had a robust process, but now this is not. So it's not like the council's going to have to say, you know, we got to make sure this doesn't get beat up
before,
on its way.
Yeah, yeah.
And if
right.
if we do, and my thought, this is just because I know that there's a paper trail on this already,
exactly.
is that we can't go backwards. And I do think that in general, we suggested a survey, and we're still thinking about a survey because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
And we can't bait the council into saying yes to a survey and then say it was their idea.
Right.
That
or saying this was your buy-in.
We can bait the council into saying that, you know, we think that the survey has merit, and we think we hereby concur with your suggestions, and we hereby direct you to take that survey on. But, and I think that's about as good. You're getting the hook in that, you know, they were directing
yeah.
this effort.
Yeah.
I understand. I would go along with that. I just want to, you know, reiterate that survey could be held against the ordinance.
Yeah, I agree.
It could. And, I mean, I don't know.
Because it shouldn't have to.
Well, here's how I look at it. I think it's better than having a chamber of really angry people showing up at a council meeting where we're, you know, the advocate, because what happens is then things turn on you very quickly. So why not? You're right. Surveys can be manipulated.
Can we survey the aquatic wildlife?
We might be able to.
Very angry.
I mean, I have not yet fully grasped how a survey process is going to unfold. Yeah. It strikes me as somewhat complicated and involved. Mm. But and maybe what we do to the council is we say, instead of just coming out and saying, let's do a survey, offer it as an example of the type of process that could be involved. And that way you're leaving yourself just a little bit of wiggle room.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very specific example.
It is.
Well, you have to couple it. Yeah. You have to hide, you have to surround it perhaps with other things.
So that, is there something beside the survey that would give us the feedback we need? I mean, is there? No, just
the town?
I like it.
I think you want, they're going to want to hear what you did to communicate with, because people are going to show up. The one thing I can guarantee you is this, is that if you eliminated this kind of process, even if you did it, right, people are going to come out of the woodwork when that ordinance goes into effect and say, I had no idea that this was, and had I known, I would have said this or that, or I would have showed it. People will go on and complain about how they didn't know and they weren't informed, had no clue whatsoever. I did years ago recycling in Warwick, and we had meetings at the high schools, right? All the high schools, the three high schools. The auditoriums were packed, but once that program went into effect, we spent months fielding telephone calls from people who didn't know about recycling, we didn't know we were required to do it, we didn't know what that blue bin means. You know, it's gonna happen. It's just the way it works.
Yeah.
But I think the one thing we could do if we wanted to minimize our effort, and that would still be acceptable, is we can drop the idea that we would do a town-wide survey, and we would say that we want to reach out to the business community and conduct key informant interviews to gather feedback directly from those people that would be most affected, and then we want to have a follow-up public forum, and we could also include that we want to also discuss with environmental advocate groups, so they kind of get a balance of the issues.
Clean Ocean Access said they would help us.
Yeah, okay. Mm. And then we can say, instead of trying to do let's administrate an online survey and do e-blasts, and you guys get e-blasts from me all the time, and that's what it would be. It'd say, I want you to e-blast this out, please e-blast this, and we'll put it on the town Facebook, and we'll do it on the town's website, and we could get a couple hundred people to fill out our online survey, but it probably, it's not like our reach of our Facebook or our website exposure or my e-blast get to town wide.
You just need to start tweeting.
That's right.
A bunch of followers.
Yeah. Then I can not stand by my tweets immediately after.
That's right. It's part of it.
So, and that would be great. I think 600.
Yeah.
That would be phenomenal.
That would be,
Dave. So my thought
really would.
We could drop the idea. This could be rewritten so that we drop a townwide survey. We basically say we're doing background informational research and key informant interviews with the business owners. And I'll still stick with my,
Yeah.
And with key environmental advocates and organizations that frequently deal with this type of issue, and then we invite those members, as well as have a general public invitation to an informational meeting. This would not be a hearing. This would be just a conversation.
Like the solar stuff.
Hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it basically, I think the goal is that, before we get into a hearing, we want to hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And if we're going to hear it, we're going to hear it at a meeting.
Yeah. Mm.
And I mean, you could get out there in the process, and you could kind of talk to business owners and at least go into the meeting saying, we're not blind to this. We we've gone in. There are some key issues. You know, it's probably, you know, you might have a few other members of the business community coming at that meeting and saying, yeah, I agree with what you heard. And then, you know, maybe we have some people that, you know, we know will speak to the positive ends of this. And then we try to write a summary of the feedback received at the meeting. Then we use that summary of feedback received at the meeting for our basis for council. We think that this merits consideration.
Yeah.
Or maybe we, after we have a meeting, we're like,
oh,
I did not.
I like that idea.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too. I was just afraid this, the survey would just be statistically meaningless and would skew everything, you know, and then it was sort of like done before we start.
The thought about the survey is that I think we knew that generally, if we, let's say I got, you know, we got 200 to 300 responses, and that was because we spent time, like, you know, trying to put it out there to people. And I think those people that would take the time to fill it out, I think you'd have probably like an 80 to 90%
positive
feedback. I thought that that would be helpful just because of that, but I do agree that that is kind of fodder in
yeah.
the final decision-making process. It's really going to be more like council members having to decide between constituents that are reaching out to them and saying, I'm really concerned about this, and then just having like something in front of them saying, here's how we're addressing those concerns, and maybe a couple of those constituents, we managed to change their mind a little bit.
Right.
So that's really what's going to change the tide. The idea that we've got 300 people to say yay, ban, and they end up just not really impacting the actual decision-making process.
Yep.
I like that.
Yeah, me too.
So, and it saves us work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah, which is good. And you should, Clean Water Action is going to be happy to help
clean.
Us. Clean Ocean Access.
Clean
yeah.
Ocean Access. Thank you.
Yes.
What would they do?
I don't know. They helped Jamestown. They've been helping all over the place with the,
so.
The band. So, my, like I said, my office mate is the president of the board. So I said, hey, you gonna help us? She said, sure. So, yeah,
that's
they're helping us.
Sounds like a done deal.
Yeah. I was like, hey, we need help with this. She's like, okay.
Do you mind? Well, I guess first and foremost, let's handle what we got in front of us. So, does anybody, so David, I'm saying that you know, obviously, I've got no problems with the fact of changing a ban to an ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
No.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm fine with that. I think Chris actually had a good suggestion that he emailed to me before the meeting, and it was basically to make sure that we're not overstepping our facts in the first section, which is that someone could criticize us and say plastic bags are recyclable. And I know we've had a discussion in our previous meeting, and I think Chris has some good information about what is required by the state and also what the, at least the policy of resource recovery is.
Great.
And so,
my recommendation simply is to eliminate that second bullet because I think as far as the Rhode Island Resource Recovery Corporation is concerned, they are recyclable because they have a policy that mandates that they are recycled, that they be recycled.
Okay.
And they have a program. Now, so I went and looked at the general law, and I looked at the Rhode Island Resource Recovery Corporation's website, and they, and I do have a recollection of, and I think what's going to happen here is once the plastic industry gets wind of the fact that the public is being invited and entertained, people are going to come because they are showing up now, not just at the state level, but at these local levels to speak in favor of plastic bags.
Yes.
And they are going to tell you they are recyclable. And the state does mandate through legislation that stores, retailers who sell a certain dollar amount or who have certain square footage have to put those containers, what they call it, a what's the program? It has a name, believe it or not. But when you try it, it does. Hold on. I'm trying to find it in my email. There is a name to the program.
I put it
out the email.
Is it in there?
It's not. But it. So they're required and mandated by Rhode Island law to have these containers.
Correct.
And the law says that they're also responsible, and I'm severely paraphrasing, to make sure that those bags get to a recycling facility or an intermediary or someone who's going to bring them to a recycling facility, and they have a reporting requirement to report on an annual basis what they did with the plastic bags to the Rhode Island Resource Recovery Corporation.
What do they do? I mean,
I have no idea. Yeah. That's what I was trying to find out. What happens to them? Because when you go on, I scoured Rhode Island Resource Recovery's website to find out, well, what do they do? What actually happens to them? And when you go on their website and click into the name of the program, it's kind of a circular thing. It tells you you can't, there's no question that it's not part of the curbside program. So their alternative is, which means that they can't be very profitable.
Right.
To recycle. Mm-hmm. So they did this alternative, which is to mandate the larger stores put these receptacles in and then have the reporting requirements and et cetera. I did find a PowerPoint presentation from the one of the directors at the Resource Recovery who addressed the ban, and this was going back to like 2009, and she used a statistic of something like 18 million bags that have been collected. But there's no explanation whatsoever on their website. There's no reporting of, well, this is statistically what CVS or the markets, et cetera, report in terms of where the bags go or what the volume of bags
are.
But my point is that since we're prefacing this with the fact that these are our key findings and these plastic bags may be recyclable, arguably.
Maybe that's the key word. May.
Yes, no, there's no question about it. And that the state does mandate it. Does everyone comply with what the corporation, with the legislation, what the corporation requires? I mean, the only way to figure that out is send a Freedom of Information request to the Resource Recovery.
Right.
So anyway, my concern was just overstepping our bounds there and not giving ammunition to people.
I think that's a good point.
I think Massachusetts just something came out, and I'll run down what the details were, but apparently they just did some kind of a waiver for landfills to now be able to trash plastic bags, which was not allowed before because of the inability to get rid of them. I can track down to see what the details are on it, but it sounds like there's been some change, big change.
And Rhode Island Resource Recovery doesn't have any waste to energy. They don't burn any of the waste, right, for energy?
I don't think they do.
No.
They recover the methane.
I just wasn't sure if they had a waste to energy program up there yet, because I know like plastics can have a high BTU value if they're burned.
So here's my suggestions on the letter, just to make sure we're clear. I think we would have a motion from, you know, to accept the letter as revised based on comments provided by David and based on input from Chris. And I think Chris's input is basically X that second bullet in those first list of bullets.
Yeah.
I think all the other comments in here make sense to me as I'm reading through them, David, and I think that I certainly can work something in about the language on delay. I probably would not, you know, I probably would say that, you know, the South Kingstown Concom, you know, you got in here would recommending a 6-month delay. I might say, you know, recognizes that a delayed implementation of any ban that may be considered, you know, would be wise to allow for businesses, you know, something like that, basically.
Okay.
I think we keep the top two bullets on our survey. We contact the local business owners to understand their perspectives. I think if you want, I could actually, and then I can.
Well, I like the using of the public outreach process in the word survey.
Where?
You wrote in, we would suggest using a public outreach process to allow residents and businesses to weigh in on this issue. And then that
I'll probably go through this whole thing and make sure I didn't use the word survey, to be honest. Because if we're not going to do a survey, if what we're doing is gaining the opinions and perspectives of our community, in I guess you would say it's not going to be as quantitative, it's going to be more qualitative, then I don't know if we even want to use the word survey. So I'm definitely going to axe out the third bullet, which is conduct a community-wide survey. But I think what I might do is enter a third bullet that would be basically to reach out to environmental advocacy groups and other organizations that have dealt with know, consideration of environmental issues such as this, and, you know, something like that.
Yep.
Basically to say that they're kind of part of our outreach process. So it's like, you know, I think there's a bullet that says we want to work with, like, community neighborhood organizations. So that's a little bit of, like, you know, trying to reach the common man and the chamber, which is trying to reach the common business, and hear from them as a first step. It's almost like helping us to understand, like, right off the bat, where are there going to be issues. And they could probably also, the chamber could help us find businesses of those ranges. And they might say, yeah, that guy's going to hate it, that guy would love it, and that guy might be in the middle. It's like, well, we should probably try to make sure we get people that are in the middle so that we don't end up with just a love or hate fest and we don't feel biased by what we're doing. So I'm going to replace the third bullet with something about environmental advocacy. I'm going to keep the last bullet. Do you guys feel still pretty holding at least one public informational meeting? I think I'm going to work in the Mike Osillo stuff
into the last paragraph.
Into the paragraph as opposed to like a separate step.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think it strengthens it, but I don't think we need it as like a process
Good.
Step.
Yep.
And then I'm going to make the final ask firmer on the council basically directing us. So basically say, you know, we would appreciate you, you know, I'll think about the language, but you know what I'm going
To the Mike Ursula point too is, so not only did they draft the ordinance, and they may have gone outside the state just to look at, but they gave a legal opinion before that, and I think it was included as part of our initial materials, basically addressing the issue of the lawfulness of towns legislating this, I think, on a local level or something like that. There was definitely a legal opinion about whether the town could do it. And they solicited that from the from his office before they even drafted an ordinance.
Do you guys think that in my second array of bullets, which are the attachments, which we attach Barrington's ordinance because I think it's nice. Chris, I have one question for you. Does the Barrington ordinance that you had previously sent me 2 years ago, did that include any of the revisions that occurred about like size?
Can't remember.
So I mean, it might be worth.
I'll check.
Do you mind just checking to make sure we got the latest one?
Sure.
And then I say, So I want to make sure, like, they're the ones that dealt with that issue. People are finding loopholes, and we want to work with one that isn't ready to go. So then the second bullet is the town council meeting minutes, which I still think are valuable.
Yeah.
I mean, these are attachments. This is making our packet a little bulky, but I think this is like background that the council is going to be like, okay, I feel safer.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good idea.
And then, do you think we should add a bullet on the legal
opinion?
Opinion. Yeah. Definitely.
So that basically, as an attachment, there's a legal opinion from Mike Ursula.
Perfect.
And then, Chris, do you mind being my? Do you feel like you'd be able to put your hands on that pretty quickly?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Legalese.
You mean the opinion?
Lawyers, they just know this stuff.
The opinion, you mean? Or I have it. We have it.
Great.
Somewhere.
So. I know you did a ton of research on this 2 years ago, and you were basically the one that said, here's all the best info to have on it. And I said, that's great. And these bullets right here that we're looking at.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a strong letter.
Yeah, I like it. It's really good.
Yeah.
Good. Great. So, just
I'd like to see it before you sign my name to it.
Do you? No, I'm happy to if you really do. It'll be next week.
Okay.
And it'll be going to the council. So there's going to be a little bit of a delay, not like we're the ones that are rushing, but the council only meets once in December, and that will be on next Monday. So we're not catching the council for their December meeting. We're going to catch them for their early January.
Okay. Sure.
So there's not a huge rush on our end to get this letter at the door, but
this will go down for a while.
Yeah.
So for what it's worth, because I wouldn't be able to sleep tonight unless I mentioned it, was the resource recoveries program is called Restore.
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 Restore. Restore.
Yes.
Restore.
That is
clever.
Too clever.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. I'm sure he spent a lot of money
marketing person was like, restore. Okay, so you need a motion.
I need a motion on this one.
Do we have to state everything you just said?
No, just basically say so moved.
So moved.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Thanks, guys. This is good. This is coming along.
Yeah, it is. We're waiting for it, you know? It's going to be a fun time, and we meet with folks and have that meeting.
Yeah, good times.
No, I mean, it's worth us doing it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, next item, F, discussion of next steps for Knowles Pond Open Space Management Plan.
Yeah, just a very quick update. We did some staff, did some online GPSing in the field. Did that 2 days ago. It was a pretty good time. Walking the trails. It's beautiful trails out there.
Yeah, it's gorgeous, so, yeah. Rex had gotten, I don't know where, he had on his handheld the trails mapped out. That's what you have now?
We do, and now it's a layer that's really easy for us to incorporate in our maps.
Great.
It's not just, it's not on.
Because you can't always see them when you're out there.
Yeah.
They're very
small. So we didn't do like a comprehensive, but we did like, you know, basically really, we did a pretty comprehensive job of locating all the stone walls, the main trail through the property, and we had a meeting and are collaborating with Kingston Hill Academy. Using the site. And, they've got some areas that we could use for parking and access.
Yeah.
We're open to the idea.
And we also talked about the possibility of their kids losing, picking up litter.
All of those fun little intricacies we can work in. As a reminder, our schedule on this is that, you know, our first step is to go out to bid for a consultant. We're kind of mixing a few steps in between. We're basically...
What do you want the consultant to do?
So we have $20,000 that we've been saving for a while for a consultant to develop an open space management plan for this property.
Well, I can do that.
You can bid on the work.
Yeah.
Basically, I can show you the RFP, but it's essentially like we want to have a management plan for it, and it's going to basically tell us, if there are policy decisions that need to be made rendering for about the property, like hunting
easements,
about use of all-terrain vehicles, which I think we're probably erring on we will not, but like there's a little bit of a process that we need to take. We can't, because that's one of the current uses of the property.
Oh, it is?
Oh, yeah. That's what the trails are from, aren't they?
Yeah, a lot of them are. And, this person will basically do a resource inventory. So what's on there? They identify, there are a couple of significant trees, and then they develop maybe conceptual layouts for trail design beyond what's already there if they think that there should be changes. They probably develop some language around how we should maintain and manage the resources in the property. So both, how do trails get maintained and managed?
Yep.
How do we keep our stone walls that are out there well-maintained? Who's doing what? What are the roles? Maintenance, I think that there'll be, access if we want other access points beyond the Kingston Hill. So we might actually, as a staff, be kind of dictating, our access point is there.
Yeah.
Just because we know it, and that's based on a negotiation with Kingston Hill. That's not
with signage there.
Yeah, so that might be something that staff leads, but we need to basically, there could be other non-vehicle parking access points at different areas. So, if someone wants to bike through the property, they can pop up.
Can you access it right now?
Off 138.
Off 138, but there's no parking. It's a really dangerous spot.
It is,
there's not a good spot to create parking there.
Yeah.
So it could be an access point for someone that wants to bike through it, but it could be an access point for
hiking.
Yeah, however, but it wouldn't be a great car spot.
Or a bike.
While we're talking about this, and it's obviously a small point that's going to have to get brought up later, but I was reading this fantastic little booklet that this organization put out on Block Island that has all these amazing trails, and it's like the Ken Weber Walks and Rambles through Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
They've done great work. They say not only no horses but no bicycles, just for compaction, soil and erosion.
Yeah,
I couldn't agree with that more.
So we'll see. I mean, that's those kind of decisions about what our policies on users would be something that an open space management plan would really investigate. And we might have, we'll call it a visioning component to our planning. What should we do, allow? What improvements might be made? I don't think we're really looking at any real hard improvements. There's going to be some signage, but there's not going to be bathrooms. There's not going to be paved parking. So it's like, you know, the visioning is pretty low scale.
Yeah.
And there might be some public outreach to make sure that, you know, we have this right, or kind of try to get an idea of what the best mix of users are based on other town parks and based on, you know, staff, recreation staff that manage these types of facilities. Long story short is all of that is going to be taken up more in like the late winter, early spring, because we don't have to go out to bid for someone to do a resource inventory right before we hit the winter and we're all just waiting on it.
Okay.
So I think we're timing all this out that we would actually solicit for bids in like February, March. For tonight, our plan for these is to designate one member of three different town boards to serve on a task force along with staff to manage this. Planning Board, Recreation Commission, and Conservation Commission are each going to have one member representative to basically service liaison and track when we have, you know, a team meeting. So it's probably going to be an extra meeting or two through the course of the process. And we're, you know, I'd love for this group to consider that. If you feel like we have enough members tonight to make a decision on designation, we can. If we actually want to wait, we're not in a rush. We can do that in January as well. So
I think we should open it up to everybody just in case somebody has a strong opinion of, like, yes, I want to really be part of that.
Yeah,
I'd be more than willing.
I'd be willing as well. Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. So we will, why don't we table the decision on a person until next month? So,
sure.
Yeah.
Just so you guys know what the timing and what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
What does the town do? I'm just curious about, like, the swimming hole out there. Isn't that kind of a liability? Isn't there supposed to be a
swimming hole?
Yeah, swimming hole.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen it either. I looked for it. Oh, it's so beautiful.
There's a little beautiful pond.
Yeah.
I
couldn't find it. I have to go back out.
Check it out. I mean, I live so close, and that's so near my running
room.
Well, you can. Anybody can walk in from 138 and go.
Well, but I go
from the school. Yeah.
Because I mean, I'm right off of. Minnesota? I'm right off of Minnesota. So I'm right across.
Same on 138, though. It was fine.
Yeah, but if you can go through Kingston Hill Academy, that's right behind URI there. So.
You know, like I said, and he could probably tell you also, if you've got, you know, your smartphone with you, there is some way to get a link to those trails.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, and if you just have, you're looking at wilderness, and there was a red line, you said, okay, that's this over here.
Huh.
But you would need something like that to help you through.
We just kind of wandered through the ATV trails, but we couldn't get to the pond. I could not find the stream, which was really frustrating.
Well, there are two streams.
Oh, okay. Couldn't find either one.
It forks out at 120.
Yeah, there are two streams, and I think what you may be calling the swimming hole, which is actually really pretty. It's where they merge. It's sort of like
And it was dammed off.
A third of the way up the property from the southern side.
Huh. Okay.
So
all right.
Yeah,
we didn't.
There's not
a
swimming pool.
Yeah.
Kind of bushwhack.
Okay.
I think it's one of those things that I think we probably would create a trail to it. That'd be part of our conceptual plan for the park improvement. So, any other questions on Noyce Farm? Great.
Okay, Doug, any correspondence?
Yeah, as part of your packet, you all received basically, because we didn't have the minutes ready, you received a copy of the motion that we had on Hillside Commons. That was more just informational. Two other things that could under. Do you have any questions on the Hillside Commons motion? Two other points under correspondence. One is that you're all going to continue to get emails from me because that's my new thing. I love emailing all the boards and commission members for all the things that you've outreach on. In fact, if we ever get to a point where we want to do a public community, you'll get one, you know, about work you do. The last one you got from me was about Solarize.
Yep.
This is my standard plug. If you guys can please forward that along.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do one more, actually, because they're really tasking the town to build upon this as much as we can. But they're willing to do the work. So there's people that are willing to go to any meeting or gathering of people. I have a representative from a solar installer.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's like a garden club. Even if it's like your bowling club, if you have enough people that, you know, you think, hey, you know, this might generate a couple of people that will say, yeah, come on to my property, take a look. He's willing to go anywhere, anytime, weekends, weekdays. So I'm tasking you all to give me ideas on, like, you know, I'm sending them to the you know, the farmer's market, that's easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Get in touch with homeowners associations, that's easy. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, where have I not thought about?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have Teft Hill Homeowners Association? There's
Teft
a lot
Hill's
of houses.
Yeah, there's a lot of people mm-hmm. there. So I guess what I'm, you know, it's not like, if you have an idea now, take it. If you don't have an idea, imagine yourself as, like, literally you can send this minion of a solarized representative
solar
to any group. And you can just kind of impress this group with, like, oh, would you guys like to have a rep at your next meeting? Because I'll provide it. So, but I'm going to give that spiel to all my
we
new
have
commissions
that kind
this
of
week.
Pull.
You do.
It'll make you look good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're just looking for, like, he, you know, basically we want to get out in the community. He really wants to, like, this guy, who's kind of our... Our local,
because he might make some money.
Right,
he will make money.
Yeah,
I mean, but the program,
yeah,
I mean, they're making money, and that the program is built on this partnership of, like, the town kind of serves as, like, a soft lead to be,
yep,
like, hey, this isn't some sales rep. His pricing has been reviewed; it's very competitive. It should be lower than you get on the open market. Here's an introduction, and then, like, let him do his thing. He's just saying, help me make that introduction to as many groups as you can.
And isn't it true that on top of that, his price, I mean, which
sure
is based
is.
On quantity, that there are also state grants or federal
tax
relief or
something? Layers of incentives built into solar right now.
Yeah.
There's state incentives, there's a federal tax credit, and then Solarize is meant to be, like, a local thing.
Don't tell Trump that, because they'd be able
to... Yeah, I just thinking that, yeah.
I had to remove, like, half the trees on my property to even be...
Semi-solar.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
So, I mean, just consider yourself, like, you guys are kind of like mock ambassadors for me, if you will. Like,
okay.
If you have an idea, like, Doug, this would be helpful, just send me an email. And who's a Facebooker in this group?
Don't look at me.
Not me.
We'll just pass right over the like, share on Facebook pages.
Do you want to
share? Do you want to share
something?
You have to share something. So the first thing you have to do is you have to go type in Town of South Kingstown.
And
like
page.
Us.
Okay.
Like, I have to like the town.
Okay.
And then you have to share the Solarize post from a few days ago.
Okay.
And then all your friends will be like, how do you really are plugging the town?
Wow.
My wife does. I'll pass that over.
Do you mind?
No.
Every time we do that, like, you know, it's like you...
Facebook.
Yeah, we appreciate it. You're going to get to
are
that.
You
on,
are you
on tomorrow? I'm getting my historic district commission this spiel, my economic development committee this spiel. I'm asking everybody. And I do not make money from Solarize. So I'm
you
really
should.
This
yeah.
Spiel. You're a good boy.
So my last piece of correspondence is to give you guys, this is more like I'm going to give you information about our own procedures. We are going to do minutes differently moving forward. Unfortunately,
it's going to be a month late.
Well, you know, I'd normally be like, oh, be careful, because Jenny's listening to that, but you're about to hear that
I'm
change.
I'm sorry, Jenny.
You're about to hear this change. So, no longer, so Jenny's overwhelmed. We have way too much work to do. We have reduced staff in the planning department, and we have gained new committees. So Jenny's not able to keep up with, like, basically what she normally does, which is listen to our meetings. And she writes the minutes. And like, she can't, you know, they're thorough minutes because of it. So instead of that, minutes are now going to become something that I write. Generally, when I need to reference that, I will. But my goal is, no one has time to do this. So I'm going to, like, the minutes, as a result, are going to become more sparse. I just want to warn you that when you see minutes, the motions will always be as exact as they've always been. When we get into, like, long discussions of items, I'm going to be very, you know, the commission discussed this item. Discussion ensued around various topics. Here was the motion. If there's something, like, we directed staff to do something in between meetings, definitely going to be in there. If there's something, like, I brought something to you to the meeting, it's going to be in there. But, like, the various, like, one idea versus another, it's not going to be in there. Minutes are going to become, like, a page long where normally you're used to do. Just want to warn you, and I want to make sure everyone's comfortable. We're basically, if anyone has a detail, like, I want to see all the details, these recordings are publicly available the next day. Anyone can ask for these recordings. Not many people do. The minutes are something that most of the time you see, and, you know, maybe it's reviewed by, you know, it's given to the council as, like, part of gigantic packets. Staff all understand that, like, if we gotta shave time out of our schedule, this is probably one area where we just need to do it. just want to make sure I'm familiar.
Yeah, sure.
Cool. Actually, if voice activation software were better, that would be the way to go. But it's very spot.
It's pretty funny.
It's funny.
Yeah.
It's what it is.
Yes.
Rhode Island accents. Really.
I bet.
I think that's all I got.
Does anybody have anything else before you adjourn?
Nope.
In that case,